Welcome to Power Trader Radio's Trade Talk, the show designed exclusively for the savvy stock trader or investor of today, with the latest market analysis and strategies, stock market tips and tricks, investments with options and spread trades, near report, news, events, analysis, and research. We put it together for you.
Hosted by Andy Peterson and Mark Eli.
And now here are your co-hosts,
Andy Peterson.
Yes, man. Not just Andy Peterson today, or any day. You also get to say hello to Mark Eli and John Lindahl. Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. We are so organized here at the Trade Caddy headquarters. With 3 seconds to go before we go live, I hear Mark say to John, hey, you know what? I want to talk about Rockwell something. It got faded away, and then I think I heard John say, Rockwell Collins? So, whether we get to Rockwell Collins or Rock River Falls or whatever else you want to talk about, Mark, I sure hope we get to. We have a kind of a loosely structured radio program here for you guys. So give us a call. We're so loosely structured that we'll take your call at any time. So just give us a call at, I forgot the number again. Somebody help me.
914-338-1702.
914-238-1702. Oh,
338-1702. 1702.
Wow. I give up. Guys, just take over. Oh, my goodness. This has been a great show already. now, we're coming off the heels of probably our most ever since we went live, like a phoenix from the flames from our previous Trade Caddy experiences a couple few years back, our most popular podcast last week when we featured Robert Netsley of Inspired Investing, Biblically Responsible Investing, and he came up with a brand new book that was released the day that he went. He could have talked to the Wall Street Journal, he could have talked to the New York Times, CNBC, I mean, anybody, but he decided to spend his time talking to us here at Power Trader Radio, which I thought was amazing. And so he has the book out, and I've downloaded it, and I'm reading it on my Kindle right now, and it was pretty fabulous. So I'm not sure if we'll ever have any sort of working relationship other than the friendship that we've established, but who knows what the future holds. So, but in other news, before we get to like financial news, I want to check in with John. John has been he's been busy lately, kind of kayaking and fishing and just having a great time with water related activities. John, how are things going with you? Can you give us a little background on what you've been up to the last week?
Well, it looks like Lake Lindahl has receded, and so no more kayaking in the backyard. However, we did get an indoor pool in our crawl space, so getting rid of that yesterday and today, pumping that out, and across the state, there's a lot of hard hit people. The highest rainfall was like 36 inches over on the coast in a town called Elizabethtown. We got about 16 to 18 inches here where I live, and the high schools have been closed since last Wednesday in prep of it, all champs football games this week are canceled for Friday night. And the kids are out of school again tomorrow and back to school on Friday, but 2 hours late. And of course, all activities on Friday night are not going to happen. It's been a very devastating hurricane across the state. A lot of damages, a lot of people. We saw a hotel today that was on the Cape Fear River, and it was just completely taken out. I had just used all his savings to buy it a year ago, and it was going to be his retirement nest egg, and just really sad. I mean, a lot of people are living on cots in high schools right now. So we feel blessed that we had some damage and some hardship. There's people with a lot more hardship than what we're experiencing, and so we're going to do whatever we can to help them. And
right.
We
know
forward here.
Yeah, and we know this is not your first experience with hurricanes, having to deal with others in the past, and we certainly don't want to make light of the plight of people that are in the path of this hurricane. But when you sent me a picture of your son kayaking in the backyard, that was just kind of like a looking for the silver lining. At least, you know, maybe your son does not feel the effects that you did. Maybe he's actually enjoying the fact that he doesn't have to go to school. I don't know. But, yeah, certainly we're praying for those that are in the path of the storm, and there is going to be a significant rebuilding effort. And it's fascinating how people will flock to, now you're not on the coast, but people will flock to the coast and they will rebuild, and then they will have to go through this again sometime in the future. And so, you know, the coastal insurance goes up.
He always finds he's an optimist, and he's, you know, the glass is always half full with him. So no matter what happens to him, he'll find some way to have fun and make the best of it. So it's a great attitude to have.
It really is.
President Trump just landed a couple hours ago at Cherry Point Marine Base over on the coast, and he's touring with the governor. I think they're going to look at some of the hard-hit areas along the coast, and hopefully we're going to get all these people whole again soon.
Yeah, I know that I was listening to Albert Mohler's podcast, and I know that there's a lot of churches and ministries that get mobilized, and their specific endeavor is to go out and help people that are affected. So with government assistance and with caring people out there pulling together, you know, it's certainly it restores your faith in humanity, and it kind of shows the big heart of the people that the caring and concerned people who are doing this out of the kindness of their heart to help their fellow man. So, it's a sad situation, and I don't know what the final death toll was, but sounds like that most people got out with their lives intact. But that's not to say that they don't have, you know, months, if not years, of rebuilding ahead of them. So,
I saw the number 17, Andy.
Okay.
Death toll, and absolutely.
And I don't know how to segue away from something like that, but we do have a news and analysis segment of our podcast, so we should kind of cover some of the other issues. Of course, there is a financial consideration with a hurricane, but as far as investing is concerned, in the news, I mean, there have been a couple of big stories lately. I wanted just to cover a couple of them before we went into a couple of these trades. Mark, again, sending me another trade, this one on MasterCard I'd like to talk about. I think it was a bull call. And we want to talk a little bit about a trade that we finally got out of after losing. We cut our losses. We took our secondary exit, and that's why it's important to do a secondary exit. We also want to talk a little bit about a Vegas trade, something that we kind of reached for the stars on, and then maybe go into a couple others, Microsoft and other things. But first, I thought we'd talk a little bit about, first of all, these tariffs and, you know, kind of like this Cold War that's taken place between China, which is under a new regime, and they're flexing their muscles at the United States and actually kind of oppressing their people at the same time, if you look into that. But anyway, against the United States. So that's China and the U.S., and they're throwing these tariffs again. The latest news, I think, was that China was imposing a $60 billion in tariffs against the United States, which was, I think, double that. But it doesn't sound like the markets are really negatively affected. In fact, I think that I saw the headlines on one article saying, "What, me worry?" Now, of course, on Monday they dropped, but the opening yesterday and today has been higher. And so it's almost like there's a rallying in the face of these tariffs. And there's actually now a new verb. Now, I guess you can get tariffed. And so we don't want to get tariffed, but if we do get tariffed, what do we do? And so even the Asian markets are higher today. So I don't know we've got that, and we've got the midterm elections and how all this is panning out. What are you guys thinking about when it comes to these tariffs and its impact on your portfolio?
Cities, you know, the with what I've been reading and seeing is that, you know, the trade imbalance, what President Trump is trying to do is resolve the trade imbalance. And we've got, you know, China's got a lot more room to get hurt by the tariffs than we do, because we've got, you know, still, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that we could provide tariffs to. So I think the eventual goal is to probably even out this imbalance. And I, you know, my personal thought is it doesn't seem to be affecting the markets too much. We hit a bad day, like when something's announced. But what I've been noticing over the last few weeks is every time we hit one of those bad days, it seems to go back up. You know, the next day or the day after, you know. So
right.
I haven't seen a whole lot of an impact on my portfolio, Andy.
Mark, what do you think?
Well, you know, anytime the government gets involved in touching the boosting something around the economy, around profit, things, you know, usually don't go the way they expect it. An example, of course, is that quantitative easement done in 2008, 2010, QE1, QE2, QE3. And just kind of a brief overview of what quantitative easement is. It's where central banks target the supply of money by buying and selling government bonds. And Andy, you and I know a little bit about that. But the idea is if you got these central banks buying government bonds, they're going to lower the short-term interest rates, and therefore people have more money. And the more money, you think that people would go ahead, if you got more money in your business, that you're going to hire more employees, you're going to do all these other things. And there's these speculations that are involved, a sequence of events that are supposed to happen. So as we've seen with the tariffs, these sequence of events are, you know, they got an idea, they get a profile, and the expectation is that this is going to occur. So what actually occurs, sometimes it's right on par, sometimes it's not. And right now, we got a lot going on, and we got these tariffs in place, and you definitely see the short-term benefit as the markets react to those, you know, those companies that are affected, their stocks, you know, are impacted. So,
yeah, no, they certainly are, and I think the conservative view, and we can go ahead and shift our thoughts now to the midterm elections. The conservative view is kind of like a hands-off approach to the management of the investment, the business sector, and of course. Now, 2 years ago, we received a Republican rule of the House and Senate, as well as the White House. And the last 2 years, we've had quite a under the Republican rule. We've done quite well as far as, you know, the markets are concerned in the last 2 years. Now, a lot of times in the midterm elections, there's a swing in the other direction. So in this case, with the Republicans or maybe the conservatives in power now, there's a desire from those who are the opposition to kind of tip the tides, so to speak, so that they can get their people in power and kind of change direction. So what do you guys think about the fact that, you know, markets have done well? However, there is a trend potentially of these policies that have been put in place 2 years ago getting reversed during these midterm elections that are coming up. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think the stock market's going to sink? Do you think it's going to peak and drop? Do you have any predictions about midterm elections in general or specifically about this one coming up?
You know, everybody, and this was asked from Paul Tudor Jones, who is a analyst, famous analytic in a hedge fund manager. I think he's a hedge fund manager, about his analysis based upon, you know, the Great Depression in finding those patterns in the future. When these opportunities, if the market were to dip and we were to say our prediction is there's going to be a dip in the market, we would say, I told you so. But, if we say the market's going to rally, we would find a moment that it rallied and we would say, I told you so. So there's always going to be an up and there's always going to be a down, always. And it's just the natural way of the market. And just historically, thank goodness, through time, we've saw an upward swing. And you know, long-term investors who can wait this out, if you do see a dip, there will be sometime in the future, there will be a recovery. So the question is are you going to let that dip hurt you? And that's where we, you know, some people need their money and start getting a fear put into them, and they start pulling out of the market. And then when you see that money coming out of the market, mm-hmm. going into under the pillow or under the mattress or wherever you're going to put it, it changes the economy, because that's money not at work. It's money that's doing nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I store my weapons under the pillow, and so I have to store my money underneath the mattress. Just kidding. All right. So anyway, with regards to you know, you talked about saying "I told you so," you know, regardless of what direction the market goes. And it just reminded me of the fact that in a recent 24-hour period, you know, you look at the news, the financial news, and it in a recent one after the next, like I read one article that said that we are only halfway through this bull market. And like right next, like the next article that I read is that we are in a rolling bear market that's going to paralyze stocks for years. Okay. So you've got these competing ideas of where we are. Somebody's going to say, "I told you so." Maybe both authors will say, "I told you so" eventually. But how enter TradeCaddy? Okay. So before we get into these specific stocks, you enter TradeCaddy comes into the picture. How does TradeCaddy decipher the difference between all of these competing ideas that are out there in the marketplace regarding bulls and bears and where we're heading? Is it a catalyst to getting to the truth? Is it something that you say, okay, I'm looking at all these different competing ideas, but really what I want to know is how is it going to affect this individual stock? What's the score that Ari is going to give it? What trades is the option chain wizard going to give me ideas for? How do you think TradeCaddy can kind of clear up these muddy waters?
You know, that's a really good question. And hey, I'm stealing a page from Maslow, who created his hierarchy of needs. When you get down to the very basics of a company, it's about the company's ability to be a profitable company. Is it going to make money? And as you go through, TradeCaddy actually addresses each hierarchy as they go up. As you satisfy one level, then the next level is the next tier above, and then that one takes over. So once the basic needs of a company are established, then more profitable things, expansion, more ideas, create money goes into R&D, research and development. They expand their portfolio. They expand their assets. They increase the number of employees they have. Geographic change. There's a lot of metrics that are involved in that expanse. So TradeCaddy tracks all of that, and it does it. It looks at the fundamental analysis of that company, looks at that profitability of that. But the next level above that is that technical analysis, where the investors themselves are reacting to that fundamental analysis, and they themselves are creating an interpretation of what their expectation is. But then that third level is when the investor goes in and places their trade decision, their expectation in the future is where the market ends up. And that one is the hardest one to gauge. And TradeCaddy does that very nicely. We have a secret sauce, if you will, for that little algorithm, that sentimental analysis. So I know I did not directly answer your question, but I wanted to just express that your question was a really deep one. And,
it is.
And
deep.
I felt like...
Well, your answer is pretty deep, too. You're talking about Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I've never seen that applied to as a business principle before. So, yeah, maybe we need to explore that a little bit further. I think the basic needs are getting fed. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you got food on the table. But as you move up towards the peak of the hierarchy, you're talking about personal growth and fulfillment. So I kind of see where you're going there with that, and how TradeCaddy can kind of fit in with regards to, you know, satisfying those needs. Obviously, you know, not in the strictest sense of the terms, but definitely, you know, as you move along in your investment experience, you can certainly satisfy a greater level of needs. If you have accumulated a portfolio that's making you money, then you're going to go beyond, okay, now I have enough for, you know, feeding my family. Now maybe I can start, you know, purchasing a house, considering, you know, being able to pay for a mortgage or buying a car, and then moving on to, okay, let's consider what we can do for our kids. How about a college savings plan, or and moving on from that point. So it's a progression. I mean, it's a progression with regards to anything that you want to talk about, your experience or your capabilities with regards to investing. And how is it that TradeCaddy can help you along those lines? Are you a beginner? How can TradeCaddy help you with that? Are you kind of stuck with regards to, okay, I got the basics down for what it takes to trade a bull call, but what really is my risk? How far out in time should I go? What are the Greeks, and how do those apply? So, yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, those sound business principles can apply to your own personal life and your own personal investing, and likewise.
You know, one of the things that economists have not really fully added to their equation is the growing population. So if you have a world of 10 billion people and you gave each one of them $1,000, you know, that would assume that there's only $1 trillion of money in to be dealt with. However, we have a world that is expanding, and the census of that world is not accurately reflected into the market. And so economists always take a look at where the fixed container is. This is the container. This is the money that's in it. So they don't the doom is always looking at it. Oh, this container is going to go smaller, but they forget there's more people in that container than there was the day before. And so as companies like, well, TradeCaddy's experiencing, for instance, is where we are having an effect on an international market. We have international customers in other countries. And so that's our container originally was the United States, but as we have an effect out in different parts of the world, we're affecting stuff that we didn't expect at the very beginning, and we didn't add that into our equation either.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, we are growing. And even like in our Udemy courses, which we're getting like 10 new customers a day, which is phenomenal. If you take a look at the map of where these customers are coming from, yeah, we certainly are a worldwide company at this point. And it's really great to get information from people on the across the globe, you know, start conversations about investing with them and teaching them and educating them with all of our tools and resources. And it's kind of an exciting feeling to see what kind of reach and influence you have, and as long as you have the right mindset, you can have a positive influence. And yeah, so matter of fact, you know, when we're talking about these, you know, these products with these customers and potential customers, you know, sometimes I forget about all the features that we have. And and I was looking at the Double Eagle Light again, and this was, I think, prompted by John. You were on the Double Eagle Light this morning. And all of these features that we have where we can define our risk tolerance, we can say, okay, show me the trades that I can make for a covered call in this case, where we define our risk tolerance. We say, you know, I want to make sure that this trade is within these parameters, and you hit the go button and you say, okay, let's do it. You apply that strategy once you get those records returned. And I want to talk a little bit about how funny it was that we have now several dozen episodes, and I was going through our technical trading episode session, and what it showed me was on episode 118, which was done in February 28th, be exact, we were talking about how we used the Double Eagle Light to find a trade that we thought was going to be phenomenal. So we configured the Double Eagle Light to look at stocks just under $10 because we were going to do a covered call. This was an actual trade. And, of course, this is right. All for educational purposes only. We wanted a return ROI of just 10% within 17 days. I mean, that's actually a pretty good ROI for the how far out in time. Now we wanted a trade that had a chance of success greater than 60%. Okay, so we hit the go button. Guess what pops up? A pharmaceutical company called Avadel with the ticker ABDL. And we took a look at the charts and we said, this is amazing. This is actually the final chapter in the Avadel story. The first chapter was this one I'm reiterating to you that you can pick up on episode 118, actually at about minute 20. And I'm going to quote Mark Eli. It was almost prophetic. He says, this stock is going to have to dig down deep to hurt us. And so after I listened to it, I copied it down. And then I went over to the Avadel chart at stockcharts.com, and I copied and pasted that chart. And guess what Avadel did? Boy, it is digging down deep, and it is hurting us. So, Mark, even though we did a covered call, we bought that stock at $8.34, and then we did a short call at $7.50 for, I think it was a $2.10. So we lowered our cost basis down to $6.24. But Mark and I, we had to exercise our secondary exit, Mark. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, what happened since that original trade and how excited we were. Our goal was to do exercise the Wheel of Fortune, and it was to get our cost basis down to zero, which we can do, and it's been done in the past. But in this particular case, it's just a way to highlight the importance of your secondary exit, because if the trade doesn't go the way you want it to, and nobody has a predictor of future events, although we do our best with our tools, things don't always work out our way. So, Mark, why don't you give me an update on what it is that we ended up doing with this trade?
Yeah. So in June, that short call expired. We still held the stock, and we went ahead and sold another short call for 98 cents, I think. So lowering our cost basis again down to $5.28. So at $5.28, we were sitting there, and the stock was at around $6, five something, and we could have got out. We could have got out at 20 and taken a 20% profit, but Andy asked me, and I got greedy, and I said, "Hey, let's let it ride." So we went ahead and we stuck in that tree. Go ahead.
Yep. No, go ahead. I just threw in my little 2 cents there. Yeah, we did. We definitely let it ride for a while.
Yeah, we let it. And then it got to the point that it dipped and hit support. I mean, at the support level. And I said, Andy, let's sell that short.
Yeah.
Now, we had a December short call. So we bought that short call back for we actually lowered it down to, we got more than a 96. We actually lowered it down to $4. We got 50 cents back in. Our cost basis ended up to be 528. So I don't remember exactly the money, but the point was, is we got into the 470s. We came back out at 526. Then the one thing you want to do as an investor, before you place your trade, you identify your primary and secondary
products.
And you do that as a percent, not as a number. So that as a percent, then that actually helps you understand as you lower your cost basis or increase your cost basis, you know where the exit point is. And that's what we did. Our exit points were being reached. Our secondary, meaning we were losing money. We lost 70-something dollars on a single contract. So we get out. I think we lost $76 in the trade.
Mm-hmm. Wah-wah. So, yeah, so not every trade. I mean, obviously, with a short call, you know, and that's the way to reduce your risk and define your risk. And so, unfortunately, the price of the stock just kept going down, and the earnings reports were not going in the right direction. And despite the fact that we saw that Avadel was they'd have a pretty good earnings report and then one not so good, everything that happened since we purchased that stock was not favorable. And as a result, we had to get out with a secondary exit. But we cut our we managed and mitigated and cut our losses. So that was definitely a learning experience, and it was great to know exactly what it was that our plan was to the point where if we get to this point on this stock, despite our every effort, we know what to do as a result to get out. So we've got three more stocks to talk about at least, and then this whole Rockwell, I think you said Rockwell College, if you want to talk about that as well. So I thought, just to make things easy, why don't we just go into why don't we just go into an alphabetical order? So we got MasterCard, we've got Microsoft, and then we've got a Vegas trade with Tesla. So I got an email from Mark because our option chain wizard, you log in, you take a look at the trades, and then you can go ahead and share those trades with your friends via email. And via email, if you trade, I got an email today from Mark, and it said, it said, I think it was a bull call on MasterCard. And as a result, I took a look at the trade. I took a look at the chart. I did some technical analysis. I saw that the RSI was kind of dropping down to 50. I saw that the Bollinger Bands were kind of collapsing. I saw that Mark wanted an expiration of 11.2. And I took a look at the trends, and I said, yeah, I think, Mark, you might have some. At first I thought, well, that's kind of – it looks like kind of the strike prices might be a little bit high for me because, I'm a lower risk kind of a trader. But, Mark, why don't you go ahead and give me your analysis and your argument for this trade, because the more we talk about it, the more I like it.
And so there's a lot of ways to look at a stock and make a trading decision. At ARI, we use the ARI report, which is a combination of technical, sentimental, and fundamental analysis. However, on this trade, I was looking at it on the technical analysis and the fundamental analysis. And quite getting to the down in the skinny of this is you get a market cap of $244 billion with a pretty much $1.2 billion of cash on hand and no debt. I'm not saying they actually have $5.8 billion in debt, but they have $7.7 billion in cash. So if you subtract the difference, you've got more cash than you've got debt. They could pay it all off. They got a beta score of 1. That's the S&P 500. They're performing exactly the same as the S&P 500, probably because they are in the S&P 500. But you get a volume of 2.7 million traded a day. Interesting thing is the percent held by insiders is 11%. That's when you have such a huge amount of people in the company who believe in the company, and the remaining of that is held by institutions, 77.53% held by institutions, what's left over is the retail investor. That's us. We're getting a very brief opportunity to seize a stock that everybody agrees is a good one. So you go out and you look at the way the management, there's something called a GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, and they get these valuation measures on how they value a company and the way a management team, how effective they are. When you have a rating at 77% and you've got a balance sheet at 93%, that's really, really an outstanding measurement to have.
And, so, Mark, where are you getting all this information?
Well, that's a
Do you have to go out and scour the internet and find all this information? Or is there some simple tool that you use that you can just plug in the ticker symbol and retrieve it all on one web page?
Well, the RE Detailed Composite Report is exactly what you just said. Now,
whoa, really?
And it'll even tell you, what is its expectation. It'll even tell you what the support level is, what the resistance level is. We have support at 205.58, and we have resistance at 220.95. So just knowing those two numbers is one of those times you get to go in and you can say, hey, here's a stock. I want to go ahead and I want to trade it, but where should I put my strike positions at? So that certainly becomes a part of what we do at Trade Getty. We look at those support and resistance levels.
Right. And so you put your short call, was it at 220, and your long call at $217.50?
Yep. That's pretty much that. And we went out for 11.02. So we did that. And as you said, it's a bull call. So when you have so much, there's two sides of the equation. You can trade a bullish maneuver on the call side or the put side or just owning the stock. John and I, John likes the stagnant, the condors, he really likes those complex trades. Sometimes I don't like taking he's more of an active investor than I am. I'm kind of laid back investor. I'm like Andy. I like to place my trade, go to sleep. If I couple days, I miss it, you know, so what? I have an expiration. I like them to automatically close out. So this is a trade that automatically closes out. And I again, like you saw, you're about ready to tell us how the beautiful the Bollinger Bands are constricting and how those when you have a constriction, that means you're going to have probably a breakout. And what is that breakout? What is that event? And usually those breakouts are done on earnings events or a news event that's driving something. And you look at the tech sector itself. There's enough confidence in the tech sector to just justify this as a November trade. Matter of fact, it's the market closed and it's still in the aftermarket. It's already up in the aftermarket. Yeah. So we get some news events that Ari goes out and looks at that day and says, hey, on this date, I have an expectation it's going to go up.
Now, in the most recent release of the Option Chain Wizard, which is the tool that you use to send me the email about this trade that you're bragging about, but thank you for letting me in on it, by the way. We have now, in this most recent release, the opportunity to adjust the strikes and adjust the days until expiration. And I'm wondering, is the Option Chain Wizard, did you touch it? Did you modify the days till expiration or the strike prices? Or did you just take it as the Option Chain Wizard predicted it and send it to me that way?
That's another great question. I did not accept the default. I went ahead and overrode it. Matter of fact, what I did is I used both products. The RED detailed composite report actually has down at the very bottom of it a volume put call ratios, and it will tell you what day is the most bullish. Well, whenever you use put call ratios, you use this number system. You know, anything greater than 1.1 is very, very bearish. A number between 1.1 and 0.9 is considered bearish. A number between 0.9 and 0.75 is considered cautious or stagnant. And 0.75 and below is bullish. But below 0.5 is very bullish. So on November 2nd, we have a put-call ratio on the volume of 0.16.
That's beautiful.
So extremely bullish. I mean, you're dropping, you're coming from a 1.39 in October, and you're coming down into an 1102 on 1102 to a 0.16. That is a staggering opportunity just to say, hey, what is driving that? What is the news events? What is the expectation of that investor in that day?
And yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah, you're not the only guy who's watching this, the put call ratios. That the OCW is as well, and as is Ari. So that's what's beautiful about this is you can confirm what the OCW is saying to do by looking yourself at Ari and finding out what the put call ratios are. And the fact that it goes out from time period to time period and makes these adjustments, these put call ratios, based, it just goes out to the option chain, and then it tells you. And you can look at it, and it's just right there at your fingertips, and you can make these decisions or validate your decision by backing it up with the data. And sounds like that's exactly what you did, Mark.
Right. And we like to use look at the earnings events, and I do want to put a disclaimer out there, several. One, this is not a recommendation by hold or sell. We are not registered investment advisors.
Right.
This is for educational purposes only. And also, another one is, second, equally as important, is there's an earnings event on October 25th. And my strategy that I'm looking at placing is 1 week past that day. And so Andy is the champ at Delta Trades. He'll go out, and I've seen Andy place some very powerful trades that he just made the decision, I'm going to go for it. So, if you look at the historical, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, if you look at the historical analysis on how MasterCard has done in the past, you know, what its reaction to the its past earnings reports are, it's actually done good. It went up the last time. The time before that, it went up. The time before that, it went down.
Right.
So you've had it just tends to be in this time, in this fall, as we approach fall. Fall of last year it did well. Fall of the year before it did well. So in fall, I don't know if it's ramping up for Christmas, credit card sales, holidays, summer. You could probably come up with a reason why. I don't know what that reason is, but it seems like summer spending on your credit cards actually have a positive effect in the ledger of the MasterCard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very interesting if you take a look at that technical analysis. If you take a look at that relative strength index, the RSI, the stock has been very obedient to that 70-point line where once it touches it, it dips back down. And it's done that several times in the past year, several times, and or I should say a few times. And it's been obedient to the 50 mark, too. It's right when it hits 50, it works its way back up, pretty much ignoring the 30 mark altogether and just staying in this bullish, stagnant to bullish range. So I think you made a really good call. I think the Option Chain Wizard did, too. And I think since we're already 10 minutes over on our call, I think we should close with a trade that I don't think – Ari would like very much. I'm not really sure, but it sounds like we call these Vegas trades. Not sure if that's the best name in the world, but it's something we might be able to patent because I actually Googled it, and it might be us that are the only ones who use it. But, Mark, you were talking about – okay, so we've been talking about Tesla and Elon Musk last couple of episodes of this show, kind of talking about where he's been and what he's been doing and a lot of the employees have been doing. They've been leaving the company, like in droves. So, I mean, what's the and the competition's ramping up right in their backyard. So, what does that mean for Tesla?
I did not know that the audience we have and the assets we have. John Lindell surprised me yesterday when we were having a conversation about rockets and rocket motors and projectiles into space, and his participation in that. So one of my decisions in Tesla was, you know, its outreach into all these different sectors beyond cars into outer space and its projectile. And John was able to clarify a couple of things that I had wrong in my head. I had the impression at one time that there was only two commercial companies that actually put rockets into space, but there was only two types of motors that put rockets into space. So I had to, but John went ahead and clarified that on, and we kind of started looking around, what is the, growth of that in the future? What are we going to do as we start putting more and more assets into space and doing more and more research and what is the market of outer space, stuff and companies or businesses in outer space are going to do. And it certainly Elon Musk company, Tesla, has an outreach in that sector differently than he's a commercial company that puts stuff into space that is not selling military weapons. The other ones that I saw, Lockheed Martin, General Electric, these other companies have a military component to it. So John helped me. I'm throwing John to you to participate in this answer. But John, I after talking with him, I was even more convinced. Here's a strategy. This company's being beat up. And what if, hypothetically, that I were to go out and find a very cheap long call position way out of the money, way out of money. So as the stock gets farther and farther down, let's say I go out to $400, and if I can get a long call that's a year out for, you know, a couple bucks, and I just put a Vegas trade on that, if that company does what it likes to do, move $100 at a time, or with $100 within a couple months, you could take a couple hundred dollars and make it $10,000 just by a single bet. And that's, I am using the word, it is a bet. It's not an investment. It is a bet on a company. John, you agree with
John,
that?
John, you got any thoughts on that?
No, I you know, it's obviously there. And there's a lot of challenges for the commercial companies with the with the insurance for, you know, failures and things like that. But it's, you know, it's got a huge upside.
I didn't even look at it today. It went up 4.93%, which kind of supports the idea. So when Andy and I were looking at it, it was around 2. It was getting down below 280, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, and it reminds me of what John said at the beginning of this show, which was, you know, the negative impact that we're experiencing because of a news event or a governmental interference or event, or even something that the company itself does, the drop, it kind of rallies afterwards. It only takes a day or two to recover, and then it kind of rebounds. And it looks like the exact same thing is happening to Tesla. I'm looking at that chart right now, and I see that you're right. It's up on the day. Of course, it's this market closed 45 minutes ago, or I'm sorry, 15 minutes ago. And it had a good day today. So it had a low point last week when there were some people leaving the company, but here we are back to kind of working our way back up on the charts.
You know, Cramer, he actually is bullish on the company also. He made a recommendation in his show about having Elon Musk take a medical leave, and that it was just take that medical break and let the company recover a little bit and then come back in and everything will be fine. So there's a lot of analysis out there and experts in this industry that are suggesting the same thing we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's definitely an interesting segment. The electronic cars are making they're ramping up their sales, so to speak. With Audi, you know, they've got that midsize SUV that they have debuted. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, their Land Rover, they're all working towards competing with them. I think Tesla will see that. We'll see that a competitive drive only increase, and so to speak, pun not intended. And so that competitive drive will probably propel them into the stratosphere when it comes to moving their stock up and up. So, nice. I know. But, you know, we are out of time. Unfortunately, we did not get to discuss Microsoft's the trade. I think we had a bull put on it that I wanted to talk a little bit about, but that's just going to have to wait. Also, guys, there are dozens of old podcasts that I am going to go ahead and look through and repost. Some of them are very educational, even though they are a bit dated. So I'm in addition to the weekly podcasts that we have available for you, I'm also going to kind of supplement those with historical content that will be a benefit to you as well, based on educational and learning tracks that we've covered in the past. Like I mentioned before, we have that technical analysis series, we have a sentimental analysis series, we have a fundamental analysis series, and more. So look for those things. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and look for us on the website at tradecaddy.com, also over on Udemy. And we look forward to having you as a customer or talking to you in the future with regards to your investment needs.
This is Power Trader Radio.